You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So over the weekend, there was a release of 14 translocated kōkako on Mount Pirongia, with the birds' population on the brink of extinction 20 years ago. The birds were moved into conservation. Finally, they were able to be returned home after all of the conservation efforts of the Pirongia Te Aro Aro or Kahu Restoration Society. The chair of the society, Claire St. Pierre, spoke to me about the conservation effort. I began by asking her how the release event went over the weekend.
Yeah, so over the weekend we had 14 kōkako, which we had caught from Tiritiri Matangi Island the previous week. These are very special birds because all of them have got Pirongia DNA, and we brought them back to return them to their ancestral home. They were on the mountain, you know, and lots of them in the early days, but, you know, with the introduction of predators and the loss of habitat, like with the logging and things like that, they were dying out fast. And the last ones were saved from extinction back in the 1990s. They were caught by a team of people and transferred to a captive breeding program in 1996. There were just the three last kōkako were saved like that. And it was hoped somehow that they would breed successfully, and so that, you know, that DNA would continue. And it did. And some of those descendants were on Tiritiri Matangi Island, and so we went through quite a process to get permission to bring them back. And so that's why it was pretty amazing, actually, to have them come back, to the place where they once were.
So could you just further elaborate about why it was so important to bring them home?
Yeah, well, a lot of us that live around Mount Pirongia, it's a very special mountain to us. It really gets into our heart. And we knew that it was sort of declining in its biodiversity. You know, like, things were being lost. We formed a group in 2002 to do something about it. And the people that came along to that first public meeting, they remembered hearing kōkako on the maunga, and they wanted to hear it again. And that was one of the reasons why we started the group. And so, you know, it's been a dream of some of my committee members that we could get that music back into our lives, back to our maunga. And so, it's an incredible achievement, I think, that we've been able to do that. Like, so I guess it's
a very special thing.
Yeah. And in fact, some of the people that helped catch those last kōkako back in the 90s, that they were actually at the ceremony, and some of them were on my committee. Yeah, like, it's a real strong commitment from them, I think. Yeah. Mm.
So could you possibly talk about what happens when you reintroduce a species into the wild where they haven't been in a while? Are there risks for the kōkako?
Yeah, like, it's quite fascinating, actually. Look, there's a heap of sort of research and science behind, would it be safe to bring a species back that, you know, obviously it couldn't be supported in the past. So we've had a habitat assessment done of the area where we wanted to put them back in to Mount Pirongia, and that's an area that we've got ongoing pest control it covers 1,000 hectares, and we've been doing it since 2006 with community volunteers. We do monitoring to demonstrate that we can get those pest numbers right down well below between 5% and 10% is the residual population for either possums or rats. And like, we've been getting rats down to almost, well, some years we've got it down to zero, and we've been doing that consistently, you know, for 10 or more years. And so that has been an important factor. We've got to demonstrate that our group itself is committed to doing it, and that we could raise the funds to bring them back, because not only is there a cost in catching the birds, because you need specialists handling those birds, but we've got to also monitor them once they're released. And so we'll have, again, experts that will come in between October and January, and they'll be locating the birds again and finding out if they've set up like pairs and have got territories, which means that they're ready to nest and breed. and they'll be looking at whether or not there's any evidence of predators building up in numbers and things like that. It's quite a big hurdle to get over to be able to establish a new population. Like the birds themselves generally have been suffering you know, with these declines, these pressures on them, and we did go through a few years actually where the kākau scientists and experts they weren't actually supportive of a new population because they said they've got to look after the ones that that they have at the moment and make sure they're thriving.
Because I suppose it's a little bit of a risk that the birds that are now on the mountain, they potentially won't survive.
Yeah, that's right. They know that because the predators are low, that they'll survive for those reasons. Mm. They know that they've been able to prove that there's good sources of food, so they'll survive for those reasons as well. There's always the risk that we'll lose some through, the normal risk that any wildlife is facing, like there are other predators out there, avian ones that might get them, or they might have an accident, or you know, like a storm or something. But we're really minimising those kinds of risks.
Oh, absolutely. So just finally, what is your hope for the kōkako on the mountain?
Yeah. So what my hope is they'll just thrive. They'll love their new home. You know, they've got beautiful ridges to enjoy. They like living on the ridges and sort of gliding down through the valleys and singing, I think, as a way of, expressing their love of life. It's beautiful. And that they'll nest successfully and that the numbers will build so that eventually, you know, they'll be sort of overflowing from the pest-free area that we've got into other parts of the mountain where we'll extend our pest control to, and that one day we might actually be a source of kōkako to translocate to other new populations as other people get on board with protecting our native biodiversity and their other safe areas created for them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.